Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring!
Hi Jesse, how's the election going for you?
Great.
I got something funny to show
it's
you.
Great. Okay.
So,
first off, welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Election coverage.
Election.
Cool.
Can you put some music to that?
No. Okay. It was perfect, just the way it was.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Reese.
Hi. Reese loves just jumping right in.
Because nobody ever... Yeah, it's just...
We get new listeners who, oftentimes they'll just listen to the first one on the page. And then if we don't say who we are or kind of what we're doing,
yeah,
they'll just it's just two guys fucking around, farting into the microphone,
that's
doing nothing.
Literally 90% of all podcasts.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. So that's
we're just blending. So the election will be called, and this is a bit of a roller coaster one. So Justin Trudeau,
Justin Trudeau
called the election with a huge poll lead, and then,
what does that mean?
So he was ahead in the polls by loads
before he called the election.
So he was like,
does he? Okay,
because they do polling.
Oh, just randomly, hey, if we had an election, who would you vote for?
They call 1,000 people and they go, oh, good news. So he's doing really well. And then they called the election.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's evened out between him and the Conservatives. And also the NDP have seen a huge surge in support. So they've...
The NDP are working so fucking hard. It's crazy.
So it looks like it's way more competitive and the easy majority. And also I think a lot of them calling the election was because we did a great job during the pandemic. So... vote for us. But I think a lot of people, and this is an example I was chatting about the other day. So after World War II, 2 months after they declared peace, Winston Churchill had an election,
mm-hmm.
and he lost it massively.
Wow.
Because although he'd been a hero during the war, there was so much, the country had been torn to pieces and looked very differently from what it did at the beginning. And they voted for the Labour government because they were talking about building homes and having a national health service. And so basically, the appetite of the voting public was very different from, he thought, oh, this will be easy. They're going to say, thank you, Winston.
I had a thought just as you're saying this about this, and I'm wondering if there's some truth to this. I'm curious if there's some, if there's any psychologists or sociologists in the audience, if you want to write to us about your thoughts on this. What if, because something similar happened just now in the Nova Scotia provincial election.
We need to talk about this Nova Scotia election.
The Nova Scotia provincial election, just to bring it up. You know, the Liberal government was doing a really, really good job of just
listening to Dr. Strang.
Which is so stupid. It's so stupid that we are praising our government for listening to medical science and just and relaying science from a doctor. That's what we're praising our fucking government for. And you know why we're praising it? Is because there's so many other provinces and so many other states who don't.
And countries.
And countries. And we're like, oh, thank God, our province is listening to science. And that's it. We're like, good job, Liberals.
Well, when they started doing the reopening plan, everyone was like, Nova Scotia's being too conservative. How come everybody else gets to open up? Meanwhile, everyone's getting the Delta variant.
Right, yeah.
We're not. Because
Nova Scotia, during the entire pandemic, I don't know, I mean, if our listeners probably already know this, but during the entire pandemic, including now, Nova Scotia was one of a small, small handful. I'm thinking like around 3 to 5 places on the entire planet that was safe and was safe the entire time. And the way it worked was like, it was just every single time we'd get a surge and we would get waves. We've had 3 waves so far, right? 3 waves. And every single wave, Dr. Strang, our political, our, I don't know what you'd call him, is the province's doctor.
Our one true leader.
Dr. Strang would be like, this is a social virus. It needs people to spread. Shut down the bars, shut down the restaurants, close the borders. Everyone stay home for the next month. And we just did it.
We crushed immediately.
Immediately. It was amazing. Yeah. So like, yeah, we just, this happened 3 times, three times this hour, our numbers spiked and everyone's like, oh my God, it's out of control. What are we doing? And everyone freaked out. And then Dr. Strang's like, this is what we do. We're shutting everything down. Stay home. And we amazingly, Nova Scotia did. Like so much of Nova Scotia did. Yeah, you'd have dissenters. Is that the word?
Yeah, people who dissent.
Yeah, and then people like, you know, but like they were rare. And most of the province just did what they were told and the numbers went down. And then we were one of the only places on the planet where we're like, oh, I keep hearing about this pandemic elsewhere. And we didn't have one. And then eventually the second wave hit. We're like, okay, we know what to do. And we did it.
And just before, was it just after Christmas?
Yeah, it was just after Christmas and our numbers spiked again. And we just like, okay, shut it all down. And we shut it all down. We just, everyone listened and their numbers went away. And then in the springtime, wave 3 hit again and it hit big and it hit hard with the Delta variant. And we're like, okay, we are shutting everything down super hard. And we did. And everyone listened and our numbers went away. And it was fucking amazing. New Zealand and us and I think a couple islands in the Philippines were one of the very few places on the planet that just did what they're fucking told and the pandemic went away. Like every time it was amazing.
Yeah, but somebody libertarians would say, I can't believe Nova Scotians are just doing what they're told and staying alive.
Don't you want freedom?
Yeah. Do you want freedom and death? Glorious death.
I have a long thought process on this whole thing. So anyway, the Liberals.
You said you were all out of rants, but this is a good one.
This is a good, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Jesse's rants. You should clip that and put, no, that's nasal. We should do like a, yeah.
Can you talk any more through your nose?
So the Liberals were basically praised during the entire pandemic for just, you know, keeping everything under control and doing a really good job of it. And then we had and then they were like, well, this is the perfect time to call an election. And so provincially we held an election here in Nova Scotia because the Liberals were like, well, fuck yeah, this is like, we're definitely going to get back in if we held an election now.
You love us.
And everyone kind of did because they did a really good job. And I hate the provincial Liberals for fucking me over my career and all my friends, but I have to admit they actually did a really good job during the pandemic. And then they got wiped by the progressive conservatives, which won a fucking majority in the province, which is just blew everyone. When I found out, I was blown away.
You know why though, don't you?
I think I do. I have a theory.
Should I tell you my understanding of it?
Yes, please do.
So they wiped out in the,
I've heard theories
in the rural areas.
I have my own theory.
It was all the rural areas.
It was all in HRM, which is Dartmouth, Halifax, Bedford, and Sackville. It was almost entirely NDP.
Yeah.
Almost entirely.
And then the richer suburbs
are all liberal. That's true.
And then as you go out to the rural areas, it's all blue.
All blue. It was insane.
But it's because they campaigned on one single issue, really, which was health.
Yeah.
And in those rural areas, in HRM, there's pretty good healthcare. There's lots of hospitals. It's easy to get stuff. But a lot of the rural areas where people live quite far away, the infrastructure in the healthcare here is really limited. And then there was also a bunch of news stories that came out showing like really shocking gaps in healthcare,
right.
Like a shortage of ambulances. Somebody who died, unfortunately, when it was kind of a routine thing, could have saved them. They were just sat waiting.
Our health system is abysmal.
So what the Conservatives did was campaign in those rural areas saying,
yeah,
we'll fix you. You know, we'll fix this. And they won because again, in the rural areas, it tends to be a slightly older population who tend to be more active voters, and they do struggle to get healthcare. And they also had like nurses and doctors running as candidates.
Now this is just pointing out the fact that we have a shitty healthcare system and we need a better healthcare system, but that doesn't mean that the PCs are doing good. Like
it doesn't mean they're gonna do it.
No, it doesn't mean that. They found what people were talking about and like, oh, we'll say that we'll do that thing if you vote for us. Like the Liberal Party of Nova Scotia, which is wildly different than the Liberal Party of Canada. The Liberals of Nova Scotia actually act more conservative.
They're center right almost.
It's way more right. Way more right. And while they have the Liberal Party has just straight up lied to us. And we have actual proof of that, by the way, like straight up lied to us, which is why I don't like them. The Conservatives are just...
Are you surprised that politicians lied to you?
No, I'm surprised that they so badly lied to us. So that's why I don't like the Liberal Party of Nova Scotia. But the Progressive Conservatives are just straight up fucking evil.
Well,
the fact that they used this as a leverage for them to get elected. And I don't like my friends. I hope that they actually fucking do what they said. That's going to be the only silver lining on the Conservatives.
I have never voted Conservative in my life, but I wouldn't make the mistake of assuming that they're evil.
I've heard friends tell me, this isn't my opinion because I don't know the man, that I've heard friends tell me about how Tim Houston is, who is our current current premier of Nova Scotia, how he is devious and incredibly intelligent and conniving. And thank God he isn't running for prime minister of the country.
But that's just how you get to the politics. No, my point I'm saying is that, you know, it's very easy to call people on the other side of politics evil. They want, in their heads, they want to make the world better. They just see the world very differently.
Did Hitler.
But this isn't Hitler. This is Tim Houston, who's an accountant from Pictou County.
Right. Who recently said that abolishing rent control, which he did, by the way, in Nova Scotia, is going to lead to greater health, is going to lead to more housing and more affordable housing in a current housing crisis in Nova Scotia, where every single other province is against removing rent control.
Yeah, but
and they seem to be doing way, way better than us. So like, oh, Tim, you seem to know something that no other fucking economist knows in the entire country, yet you won't share it with us.
But honestly, he's a free market conservative. He believes
he's
probably a follower of Milton Friedman, who believes that no government intervention means that it'll create the perfect marketplace and then low rent will become affordable because the market will demand it, which is kind of a balmy economic theory.
By the way, if we have any conservatives listening to our show, thank you. We love you and fight me.
No, but my point is that he thinks that's going to fix things using the free market. It's not that he's evil.
Why not just look at the past, man? Look at what has worked before and what is currently working. Don't try to reinvent what's...
But again, he sees the world differently. He looks at the past and sees different things from what you see and from what I see.
Facts.
I don't like people slipping into the thing of calling political opponents evil, because that's what Trump does. Because you need to have a dialogue with people. Most people want...
You're too... You're too goddamn reasonable.
Most people would like to live comfortably.
Like, it's honestly infuriating because I know you're right. I know you are. And it bothers me.
But listen, hear me out. So most people would like to be able to afford a decent safe home.
Like, I have all this rage when you say shit like that. I have nowhere to put it.
Okay. Most people want to work a job and they will work hard at it and they just want to be rewarded for that hard work and would like to progress in life.
That's a really interesting perspective on the 9-to-5, which I've avoided most of my life because I'm one of the people who just, I hate the 9-to-5 concept. But you're right. There are people out there who genuinely like the camaraderie, the feeling of purpose, et cetera.
Most people just want to go out, you know, whether they choose to have kids, whether they choose to have pets and call them fur babies for some reason, you know, whatever you decide to do in your life, you want to live in a community that you feel safe crossing the street, you know your neighbors, you're part of clubs, everyone wants to thrive. It's just that everyone has a different vision of how to achieve that and how to do that. And
sure,
and which is why I don't like people calling it evil.
I would like to say, in the, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. If you are a new listener, this is not how our show normally is. It's not normally just Reese and I ranting.
This is election coverage.
Normally, our show is way funnier than me just ranting angrily into the microphone, which some of you might find pretty funny. I don't know. Anyway, please continue about evil, calling people evil.
Yeah. So I just think that it closes us off from each other, and it's very easy to kind of point fingers at people because then you go right. Well, I have to. You hang out with people who agree with you. I think that's bad.
You are correct. I have okay.
We're not going to fix the world.
No. I have two points to add to this. First point is you're right.
Thank you. I know.
The second point is you're almost right. Okay. In the fact that having a dialogue with someone else, even a reasonable, calm exchange of ideas and information takes two people. Okay. Takes two people who are willing to have this conversation, willing to listen and willing to be open and honest, willing to admit when they're wrong, like I do with you.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, but I do it when I'm faced with so much fucking goddamn reasonable logic. I'm like, for fuck's sake, you know, but like it's how we learn. It's how we grow as people. And for both people to grow, you need to be willing to have a little bit of humility, a little bit of humbleness and be willing to accept that, like, that the ideas that you have could change. They might be wrong. Perhaps the two of you working together could come to an agreement in the middle and find the truth together. And it's the best way to have an argument. And even with people who are upset and angry, I mean, the first thing you want to do is to allow them to vent their anger, because you just, no matter the argument, I'm not talking politically, I mean anything at all. And this is just a side tip on psychology for anybody who's listening. If you have someone who's angry at you, the worst thing you could possibly do is argue with them. The number one thing you should do is let them feel their emotion, let them get it out, because they're looking to vent their emotion, their anger. And if you let them do that, then they feel heard, they feel listened to, and then maybe you can broach the subject of finding a truth together. And it works really well if you have some patience. Anyway, that being said, there are, Reese.
Yeah.
There, and this is sadly fucking true, there are some people who are so intrinsically, intensely set in their mindset, and I would almost argue mentally unwell.
You're talking about the people who died of COVID and denied and still claimed it was a hoax while they were dying of COVID.
As an example,
I wasn't specifically pointing them out,
but that is an example. Yes, yeah. Like I would argue some point of, you know, mental instability, mentally unwell, or people who have, like, they're just, it doesn't matter, with a very small percentage, and I'm going to say very small percentage, talking globally, of people out there who, it doesn't matter how much you let them rant, how much you let the emotion get down to nothing, how logical, how reasonable, how much you want to have a civil conversation with these people, their brain chemistry will never, ever change. What's that coming down the driveway, Reese?
It's me with a fresh delivery from the ad man. Come smell it.
I will come smell it. I love how your ads smell.
Oh, golly, it's fresh.
Leah, stuff it in my face.
Fresh ads.
Smack me in the face with it. Yeah, just the way I like it. Ads. I'm of the belief that some of these people I live in an echo chamber. Okay. And that echo chamber allows for megalomania to happen. And when megalomania happens, they want to get more and more power. And these people, not all of them, but a select few, rise up the ladders to become some of the politicians that we know today. It's to the point where if you were to try to have a civil conversation and perhaps change someone's mind or even have your mind changed with a politician, some of these politicians are of that mindset that they just, no matter what you do, they're 100% convinced, and nothing you say, nothing you do will allow for a constructive conversation where both parties or even just one party could learn something new. And I'm of the belief that some people in the conservative parties, some people in the states that rhyme with dump, are of this mindset.
Or flump.
But
honestly, you said it in your explanation, there's a minority.
But that minority has risen to power is the problem. Because that's the problem. If they didn't rise to power, this would not be a problem.
But you know why? Because there's been a pandemic. Lots of people have been afraid, stuck at home, lost their jobs, been put into uncertainty. When people are afraid, they look for someone who claims they have all the answers.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So
I fucking hate saying that. Can you just...
you get people who are drawn to these people like, oh my God,
I think I have some good points.
You do have good points. I'm not saying you're completely wrong or anything like that. I'm just telling you my perspective. I'm just throwing my perspective back.
Fine. I guess that's allowed. Go ahead. But,
you know, it is that thing where you just, you know.
You're right, by the way. People don't want to have when people are scared, they don't want to have a conversation. They want to find a leader who has all the answers. I 100% agree with you on that.
If you start going to, and also there's like social media is designed to be addictive. It's the way you interact with Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever it is, the platform you use. It's designed to keep you on there for as long as possible.
It's true.
They make more money.
I try to use it as little as possible.
So they do that, and the algorithm feeds you more things that keeps you. So
in an echo chamber, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, when you've been stuck at home and you've got this little screen.
God lover. Hi, mom, if you're listening, which you probably are. She told me that her Facebook is just delightful all the time.
Because she looks at delightful things.
Right. And so I'm like, oh, that sounds wonderful. Because like my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed before I eradicated them, which there's something called Facebook Feed Eradicator, which is wonderful. And I highly recommend you download it for your browser. It was just like horrible shit all the time.
Exactly.
This is really depressing. So, mom's like, I don't get it. My Facebook is delightful.
During the lockdown, you found that the new age crowd who believe in like healing with crystals has allied with the far right crowd, and they've kind of become slightly melded.
How the fuck did that happen?
Because they don't like vaccines. They don't like Western medicine.
Wow, right.
So they found a common purpose. A lot of these new age health influencers have been recruiting their crowd to more of a far right angle, even though they might not be racist.
On just a side note about vaccines, I watched a New York Times mini documentary on YouTube, which was new. If you guys go to YouTube, it should be one of their newer videos by the time this podcast is put out. And it was about anti-vaxxers who are getting sick and in certain parts of the states. And they went and they interviewed them. And this one guy was on a ventilator in the hospital, and he was in his mid 40s, I think. Both of my parents got the vaccine and they both had COVID, which happens. It's called a breakthrough infection. And it's like the vaccine is not supposed to be a cure. It's supposed to be this incredible defense.
Yeah.
But shit can still get through depending on your own body's immune system and immune defense, as well as a number of factors. Anyway, as far as I know, his parents were still alive. And at the end of they were interviewing him, and he's like, yeah, no, if I had the choice to, I still wouldn't take the vaccine because like freedom is important to me. And like, he still didn't believe the vaccine was hell. And meanwhile, like, he's on a ventilator. And then at the end of the documentary, a text came up on the screen saying he died a week later. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was just, anyway,
he died doing what he loved. He was free.
Yeah. Like, really? Anyway, sorry.
It's so sad though, because
this is a long rant.
Yeah, but this is our episode about the Nova Scotia election.
Okay. So I do
going for, How does this apply to the rest of Canada?
Okay, so I had a point to bring up at the very beginning of this podcast, which is what the fuck happened. I was, when I found out that the Progressive Conservatives of Nova Scotia first got elected, I was shocked. I was surprised. And then I was really upset and angry. And then I calmed down, as I do, because I don't like hanging on to anger. And then the next day I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, my anger literally stemmed from fear.
Yeah. I am afraid of what these people are going to do to us. I am. I like phase five is coming out in Nova Scotia, which basically is like, no masks if you don't want them. That's fine. You know, like no social distancing. We're going to literally pretend the pandemic is over now. And as one of the very few places on the planet, we can actually kind of do that, which is nuts. But that's a different story altogether. I'm quite scared what the PC government is going to do in this province, because anyway, that's a different story altogether. That's a personal opinion of mine. Anyway, the point we were trying to talk about is why that happened, because the Liberal government did such a good job during the three phases, the three waves of the pandemic in Nova Scotia. Why were they crushed in this election? And I mean crushed. I mean, hardly anyone voted for them. People like the majority of the government, the majority of the population voted for the PCs, and the rest voted for NDP. Hardly anybody voted Liberal.
But also, it was vote to turnout was the lowest ever.
Was it really?
So what? It wasn't that.
I heard it was a little higher in 2017. That was it. And then the rest of the time. So we were. It was the second lowest. It was 50 years or something.
So it wasn't that everyone changed to vote for the Conservatives. It's just that nobody turned out to vote for the Liberals.
Well, okay, so that changes my theory a little bit. But let me tell you my theory, because you said the same thing happened after World War II.
Yeah.
With Churchill.
Yeah.
Right. And this happened here, and it surprised everybody. Right. The voter turnout does change my theory. But here was my theory as to why the people who did vote dramatically changed, who everyone was expecting to get voted back in. And it's just a theory. And as I asked at the beginning of this episode, if there are any psychologists or sociologists out there who want to chime in, please email us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. And if it's not too sweary or too racist, we might read it on the air. my thought is, and there's probably a term for this, we don't want to be reminded of, we associate negative emotions with the people who were involved with it, even if that person being involved with it was helping us to get out of that negative situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So like if you had cancer and you had a doctor, an oncologist who was working with you for 2 years to get rid of this cancer, and they were doing a great job, right? And then finally you did it. You beat the cancer and you're great. You know, and it's like a month later and you get a call from this oncologist who's like, hey, do you want to go for coffee? You're probably like, no, sorry, buddy. You were great. But like, I kind of don't want to think about you anymore, because when I think about you, I think about cancer.
That's a good theory.
Even though the Liberals were doing such a good job at just keeping things under control, the fact that we beat three waves and we're to a point now where we're almost out of, like, we just don't have to think about the pandemic anymore. Rehiring the people who got us through it, maybe it's like it's too close to home. And we're like, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think the other thing as well is that a lot, you know, the government,
like Churchill, like if I vote for Churchill, having Churchill is like, then I'd have to think about World War fucking II all the goddamn time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, and now he's going on about everything he did in World War II again.
Right, yeah. that's my theory. But also, it's just like a knee-jerk reaction of anyone but you, please. You did a great job, but anyone but you.
The other thing as well is that, you know, the government had to spend a lot of money to keep things normal and afloat. And if you're...
If you're the kind of person
who believes in austerity and keeping the government spending low, even if you're a swing voter, you might go, well, they got us through it and they spent a shit ton of money, and maybe what we need to do now is vote for a party that we know will reduce government spending, because I worry about national debt. Personally, that's not something I worry about, but I know a lot of people bring it up quite a lot.
Well, you know, I just had a thought right now. During this pandemic, we've had a provincial doctor, which is something we've never had before, as far as I know.
A doctor giving
his personal researched advice on the current health of people in the province.
They have done it. It's just nobody's been paying attention.
Have they? Okay. So I just had a thought right now.
They didn't make the job up.
How neat would it be if we had like a public, someone who like advertises himself, like we have with Dr. Strang. I love his name, by the way. Like a provincial economist who's like, hey, this is how much money we've got. This is why we're spending it over here.
The problem is that economics is a lot like psychology. It's a lot of people believe different things in these different schools. Mm. So some people explain psychology in like a Freudian way, and other people explain it. I did psychology for a bit and I dropped out. You know, there's different schools of thought, and economics is the same. You'll have some people who are Keynesian, some people who follow Milton Friedman. You know,
look at you, Santa, so smart. I don't know who these people are.
The economists are Adam Smith. Have you heard about Adam Smith?
I was in school
with someone called Adam Smith, and it was the same name as like a 18th century economist. So, you know, doctors tend to agree on one thing. Real doctors tend to agree on medical science.
Right.
Anywhere in the world, if they're a real proper doctor, chances are they'll have very similar approach because it's all evidence-based. Whereas economics isn't—it's people change.
I mean, how can you interpret have opinions on math and like?
But it's not though. Is economics because human is math?
It's not, how much money there is. It's where that money should
go. It's a lot of human behavior,
right? Like so, we should spend it on schools.
We should spend it on
condos. You know, like
so. Yeah,
Halifax has been doing God knows.
So let's wrap this episode up.
Okay. Yes. This has been a long episode. Thank you for listening.
I guess the old underwriting didn't. What did we learn? What we learned is that Justin Trudeau is not in for an easy ride in the election.
No. If history has taught us anything, one, it's that politicians don't look at history, and two, that when you think you're doing a really great job in a time of world duress, don't call a fucking election in the middle of it because you'll get booted the fuck out, which now concerns me because like I've heard that Trudeau is doing a great job from some people. I've heard that Trudeau is doing a piss poor, awful job from some people. I haven't been paying attention to
Canada's done a great job. Globally, Canada's done a really good job. Okay,
well, that's great to hear. I am concerned if historically this is what happens when you call an election during the middle of great times of duress, that you get booted the fuck out for reasons that are unbeknownst to us that we've theorized during this episode, that the conservatives will take over the country. That's terrifying to me.
Let's talk about them in the next episode.
Okay.
Cool.
Yay. Bye. Wait. Call to action.
Call to action. Instagram.
That's your knee-jerk reaction every single time.
Because
it's really funny.
Because we're on there a lot.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I think, call to action. Okay. If you have an idea of something that we've said, it has to relate to something that we've said in the past number of episodes that would make a great t-shirt, send us an email at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com or send us a message on Twitter or Instagram. I'm sure you can find us on there. It's not hard to find us.
We haven't put a t-shirt up since Seduced by Ottawa, so we probably should.
And I love Seduced by Ottawa t-shirts. So if you have an idea based on something that we've said in our previous number of episodes that would make a great t-shirt, get in touch with us, let us know, and maybe we'll make it into a t-shirt and we'll totally we'll let the world know who you are and et cetera, et cetera.
Wonderful news.
That's our call to action. Get on it. Go do that before you do the next thing you're going to do.
Cool. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Love you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair.
There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.